Hey, you're listening to Jerry Cooney, and we're with the Mike Saffo podcast.
Cooney, what's up, bro?
Hey, you know what? It's great to be here, Mikey, always, and you got a great, great show, and I still want to fight you.
No, we didn't even get to that part yet.
Okay.
Okay, we'll do one serious note, because it is September 11th. We're taping it now, September 11th, in Sirius XM Studios, and I appreciate you having me here. Where were you? How did it impact you? Give me your 9/11 story. Everyone has one. So.
Well, it does. It's awesome. I was training the rookie police in Union County and asked to go there and teach them self-defense. And, you know, if you don't have a mace or your slapjack or your gun, you know, how to protect yourself. And so I trained a bunch of guys, got in my car to come home. On the radio came a plane just hit the World Trade Center. I couldn't believe it. I said, could this be for real? And I was on my way home. I finally got home. I ran in the house. I turned on the television just in time for the second plane to hit. And it was just crazy. Because you know what was going on? We went up, there's a big hill up in New Jersey where I live. We went up and watched it up there. And you know, all the terrible things that went on, the things that we heard, it was still not really over that. It's so tragic. And, you know, it's just, you're lost for words.
Yeah, and it's like a feeling of like helplessness. Like you're watching it, and you know what the worst part was? I remember for me, I was young, and I leave school. They tell everybody, you know, I was in college, go home. Like everyone has to go home now. I'll never forget. I was coming from Brooklyn or Manhattan, and I lived in Staten Island at the time, and there was no easy pass. They're like, just go. Like, just no one paid the toll, go home. And I remember like going home, and on the bottom of the screen, it was like maybe 10,000 dead. They had no idea the numbers, and it's like, wow, we're being attacked. I never lived through anything else like that. It was like the scariest moment when I remember that.
It was horrific. And, you know, we were home with the family and, you know, you just don't know what's coming next. And I've had so many people you know or have known. A very good friend of mine from the Port Authority, Michael Nestor, top Port Authority guy, was there and involved. And so, you know, it's just amazing that something like that could happen. You know, America stood up, and we lost a lot of people in devastating time.
Now let's have some fun. I got bad news for you. You actually dropped off my top 10 list of friends, by the way. You were on the top 10. You don't invite me to the McGregor Mayweather. Wherever you watched it, you didn't invite me to the party. That's kind of fucked up. So you went off my top 10 list.
I didn't tell you that you were my best friend?
No, well, not anymore. You didn't even invite me. Where'd you watch the fight?
I was out in Las Vegas.
Oh, wait, you're
McGregor Mayweather, and what a great experience it was. I had my birthday out there. I've actually celebrated my birthday. I left on Thursday to go out to Vegas.
Okay.
We stayed at the MGM, and we were on the, you know, just had a great time seeing all the people, the celebrities, the fighters, and watching that whole experience was just awesome. And, you know, I was thought it was going to be this one-sided fight. It turned out to be, you know, attracted to both MMA and boxing, because I think there's a lot of crossover people. You know, a lot of MMA fans came to boxing and vice versa. And you know, McGregor stood up for himself, obviously had no experience. Mm-hmm. And Mayweather, you know, let him punch himself out the first three rounds. Then he walked him down, make him more tired. And when he got exhausted, he took him out. So I picked him between the ninth and the tenth round. But, you know, I went home that night, back to my hotel, feeling like I was satisfied. You know, he stood up. He, you know, obviously he lost. How could you not lose with a guy that's been a world champion, the best of his era? And he got in there, showed a lot of guts, and, you know, made a lot of money going home.
How was the atmosphere out in Vegas? Was it just electric?
You know, it wasn't like a Manny Pacquiao Floyd Mayweather.
Really?
It was a little more subdued than that, but it was still pretty exciting. And, you know, it was a lot going on. And you know, typical fight crowd and excitement and a lot of gambling going on, and you know, it was a great atmosphere to be around. I mean, I was a fighter all my life, so I don't really need those crowds anymore. But it was a great experience.
It's funny you said that, because I thought Vegas would be electric, because I'll tell you why. The Super Bowl happens. Even if you never watched a football game, people are watching it. I had a party at my house. We all went to the bar afterwards. There were 15 people. 8 of them never watched a boxing match, but they had to watch that fight. It was like must-watch TV.
You know, I guess. I mean, I've been a fighter all my life.
Yeah, and you're going to watch every fight anyway. Life. Yeah.
So I found interest. I was interested on how they were going to break it down, how they made adjustments, and obviously there was no adjustments. McGregor came out working, And Mayweather did what he does. He gets you tired. Once you get tired out missing, then he starts to come on you, and then you can't. You become more frantic, and you don't breathe. And when you don't breathe, you don't get oxygen through your blood. You get tired, and that's what happened to him. And you know, he stood up for as long as he could. And some people said, I was with Eddie Cotton today. He's a real great referee, and he thought that maybe the referee should have let him knock McGregor out. But I thought it was a great stoppage. The referee did a great job that night. I was satisfied, and I'm a critical guy about fighting, and I think that Mayweather and McGregor did a great job. And listen, it was well worth me going out there to watch it.
Were you impressed that McGregor came out as strong as he did? Because he impressed me. I thought it was going to be embarrassment. I really thought Mayweather was going to embarrass him just to prove a point, because it was a two-pronged thing. One, he had to win for boxing. You can't have an MMA guy in his first fight come and beat one of the best of his generation.
Yeah, whoever thought he was gonna? I mean, I got a couple of dinners out of that deal. People thinking he was gonna win, but how can you take a guy who's never been in the ring, let alone in MMA? You grapple, you hold on, you rest. In boxing, if I keep my pressure on you, I'm not even getting tired, but I'm making you tired out.
Now, were you impressed with McGregor the first three rounds? Because after that, he faded. He was,
he had a lot of guts, and he came out. But he was just McGregor's so smart. And I spoke to a lot of guys that night that we interviewed who had fought Mayweather, and he walks him down, figures him out, looks for the opening, finds the mistakes, ties him out. And then he takes off, and that's what he did. And he put a lot of pressure on him. It was the first time, really, that I saw Mayweather put a lot of pressure on a big puncher like McGregor. But obviously, he felt the punches had no sting in him anymore.
He knew after the third round, he's mine. I can take my chances now.
Well, he couldn't take his chances. He was smart, but he was getting inside with his hands up, pushing McGregor back, making him tired out more.
I actually enjoyed the fight, and I didn't think I was going to, and I enjoyed it. It was fun.
Yeah, I think everyone got that, walked away with that sense of it was okay. Obviously Mayweather did what he said he was going to do, but McGregor showed some guts.
And there's two things that I'm really happy didn't happen. You were out in Vegas, and I'm really glad, and I thought it was going to go down kind of the route you went down. I thought they were going to make it a white-black thing. I'm really glad it didn't happen. Like, after that first press conference, I'm like, oh, it's going to be the white, and it really wasn't that way. Do you agree?
No, I think there was some stupid talk about it at some point during the crazy media frenzy. But no, it's not. It's athletics. It's two athletes. When I fought Holmes, there was all that nonsense going on. When Mills Lane gave us instructions in the middle of the ring, Holmes looked at me and said, let's have a good fight. And that's what boxing is about. It's always been that way. I mean, sometimes I'm sure there is, but not as far as I was concerned. I never got involved or caught up in any of that stuff.
Now, two fights I want to talk about. One happened already, and I feel maybe it's the revival of the heavyweight when Joshua fought Klitschko in Wembley. I know it was a month or two ago, but I haven't seen you. Is that bringing back the heavyweight division? Because nothing's as good as when there's a big heavyweight fight, that's must watch. And Joshua versus Klitschko, that was great. That was a great fight.
Well, no, let me tell you something. Years ago, it used to be, if the heavyweight division was lacking, boxing was lacking. But right now, I mean, you got middleweights. You got some of the toughest light heavyweights in the game. You got great cruiserweights. Errol Spence is a welterweight. Terence Crawford has a junior welterweight who's going to move up to welterweight. There's Keith Thurman. There's so many great guys in different weight classes. Boxing is big. I mean, Al Haymon came out, De La Hoya came out, Bob Arum is still out, Joey DeGuardi's out. There's a lot of great guys out there putting on some really good fights, and I'm so glad, because boxing has never been so good as I see it now. I mean, we had a great run back in the 70s and the 80s. It was a great run, some great fighters, but it's coming back in all the weight classes. There's deep in talent.
Now, talking about the Joshua Klitschko fight, did you enjoy that?
I love that fight because, I want to tell you, Emanuel Stewart, who passed, rest in peace, he trained Klitschko and wanted Klitschko to fight like that. And that night, Klitschko gave that experience. He fought like Emanuel Stewart wanted him to fight, and he did a great job. And listen, you got to give it to Joshua, because in that one round when Joshua hurt Klitschko and he went after him, he tired himself out. He was looking like, oh, man, he's not going to make it.
Yeah, the next round, I thought Klitschko was going to knock him out.
Right, he
I
went
really
back,
did.
And he took a round off, and then he came on. That's the sign of a great champion, and that's what you have. And listen, Deontay Wilder, Anthony Joshua, people want that. I want to see it. And I spoke to Deontay Wilder you know, on Friday, tell him that I did pick Joshua if it were to happen right now, because Joshua's been busy. Mm-hmm. You've been injured. He tore his bicep. He broke his hand a couple of times, and I have to give him the favor. But I'm a Deontay Wilder fan as well. But it's going to be a great fight.
I can't wait. Yeah. And I love, nothing's been a big heavyweight fight. Who's the other guy? Is Ortiz? What's his name?
King Kong Ortiz.
Yeah.
Is going to fight. You know. Deontay Wilder. That fight, I think, is pretty much made. Mm-hmm. And there's some other guys, too. I mean, the division is forming again. It died out when the Klitschko brothers were there because it was nothing but cruiserweights that were blown up to 200 pounds.
Like, pumped up, right? Yeah.
But it was no
good. And
they
just dominate. Listen, I liked Klitschko's, but Jab, the fights were kind of boring.
It was boring. Yeah. It was boring, but they're very talented guys.
And they dominated, and it's like, crap, is the heavyweight division ever going to come back? Like, can we get back from this? And I'm glad we are.
And I think that, you know, Klitschko standing up saying, listen, I made a lot of money. Mm-hmm. I got a family now. I'm going to turn the page of my life and get on doing some other things. So that's really great about it. And, you know, boxing is going to fill that hole.
Now, the other fight I want to talk about, I made a note. This is the biggest fight of the year. It's this Saturday, middleweight. It's the super fight of the year, I think. Triple G versus Canelo. You excited about it?
Yeah, you know, before you talk about that, I just want to tell you about Chocolatito just fought this past weekend.
Okay.
A couple of smaller guys. Chocolatito was in the talks with being the top fighter pound for pound in the world. Mm-hmm. And he was in a rematch with a guy who beat him last time, although I thought Chocolatito won the last time. And then from that fight to this fight, Chocolatito just got old, and he got beat up from bell to bell.
It was sad.
And got stopped in the fourth round. And that was very sad because, you know, he was comes from Nicaragua where mm-hmm. Alexis Aguello was. And it's kind of funny, on the anniversary of his, when he lost his title, he fought again and got knocked out in four rounds. So that was a great weight class and a great division to see, watch those guys fight. And this Saturday, yeah, this has the makings to be the fight of the year. Mm-hmm. You know, Triple G has done everything they asked of him. Canelo Alvarez has done everything they asked of him, except he lost to Mayweather. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, it's so interesting to find out these two guys, if they stand in the center of the ring, if that fight would happen, it would be the greatest fight in the world. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's going to happen because I don't think Canelo Alvarez can stand in the middle of the ring with Triple G because she's a devastating puncher. And how they're going to work it out, is Canelo going to box? Is he going to try and get inside? Triple G's got a great left jab. He can fight all night with that jab and win. He beat Danny Jacobs mm-hmm. with that jab. So there's a lot of unanswered questions, and I'm so excited to be getting the opportunity to go out there to see it.
You're
again.
Going back out to Vegas
going
for
out
it?
To Vegas for it, yeah.
SiriusXM must be paying pretty well if they're flying you out there.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And it's a great time for boxing.
Now, do you guys do shows and stuff out there?
We do double shows.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, every day. So it's all good. And we have Radio Row with all the celebrities, athletes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Come through and we sit down and talk with them. And so it's all good. You know, they got a lot of great guys, basketball players, football players, actors, you know, fighters. You know, it's all good.
Listen, NBA Finals, Super Bowl, a big boxing match is where everyone shows up for. You want to be seen at the big fights.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know.
Well, you were always in the ring. Yeah, you were in the ring. Me and you were in the ring. We know it's fighters.
People want to be there. I want to see that event. Mm-hmm. It's an exciting event, and it's a one for the ages. You know, it could turn out to be one for the ages. I hope it does because it needs it. And, you know, Mayweather-McGregor overshadowed it for so long that no one even talked about it, but it's real, and it's a real fight.
And the real boxing fans are pumped for it. I'm telling you, like, my friends and I, that's all we're talking about. Yeah. I'm having people over for it, and like, you want to be focused in. Now, Vegas has Triple G as a pretty big favorite. Do you agree with that?
You know, he's a natural middleweight, and Alvarez is moving up from welterweight. But Alvarez has been working with a lot of guys that were 175, mm-hmm. Russian heavyweights, different sparring partners, to feel that the sting of those punches, to be able to better take them. And I heard he was faring pretty well with that. So I don't know. You know, we're going to see what happens. I mean, like I said, it can be a great, great fight. Can Canelo come in and trade punches and stay in the pocket with Triple G? I don't think so. Can he box Triple G and make Triple G stumble around? That's a possibility. I hope not. Because sometimes you saw that with Danny Jacobs. Mm-hmm. He did that. Are they going to use that strategy? I don't know. That's what's going to be so beautiful about it. But I hope that they stay in the center of the ring and they go mano a mano and punch it out.
So now we're going to go, you're going to lay out the money, and we'll go 50-50 on everything. You lay the money out, and you bet for me in Vegas, right?
Something's wrong with this question.
No. You lay out the money. Listen, you got the big bucks. You lay out the money. I'm going to give you my input.
Security. Security, get in here.
Listen, you're getting ready to do your show with the commish, Randy Gordon. What cool guests have you had on recently? And give me your one dream guest in studio that you would love to just sit down and interview.
You know, we have a lot of great fighters on. We have Danny Jacobs is coming on tonight. Peter Quinlan's coming on tonight. We've had movie stars, rock stars. You know, it's so many guys that and women that come on that are fight fans. And, you know, we just love to talk fights and your career, what's going on with you. How does this fight break down for you? And so, you know, I'm not really a starstruck kind of guy, but we have a lot of great people come on.
And the boxing community, like you just said, who'd you just meet outside?
I was with Boom Boom Mancini. I'm walking down the street. I'm thinking, what the hell is my chances running to Boom Boom Mancini with his mother and his girlfriend walking down on 50th Street? And I found out they're going over to Europe. They're taking a plane to Europe. And I was hoping he was going to come on the show, but he's leaving for the flight now. So.
And you guys have like that instant camaraderie, right? Like we're boxed. Yeah, of course you do.
It's fight. You know, you're a fighter, so you've been.
I know, Jerry. You're talking to me. I know.
You've been through the struggle. You know what? What do you know? About
I know the fight world.
Yeah, you know the
Listen,
fight world.
Listen, you got to tell me who's your dream guest. There has to be one person. It doesn't have to be an athlete. About anyone in the world, who would you want to sit down and just interview and just sit down in the studio with for 2 hours and just kick it?
Yeah, you know, Jackie Martin was a great interview.
He's awesome.
I mean, we've had a lot of comedians come on. Mm-hmm. You know, I just tell you, we've had so many people that, you know, like I said, I'm not really a starstruck guy. So, you know, we have guys on all the time. I really enjoy talking to them, hearing them. We have basketball players come on. You know, Oakley, Charles Oakley was a fighter as a kid. The fight game is great. This SiriusXM is great.
It's so cool. You see,
I love this show.
And you're a big sports guy to begin with.
SiriusXM, Channel 93, Combat Channel, 6 to 8 p.m. every Monday, every Friday, Eastern Time.
Now, listen, three more questions for you.
Good.
You want 10 more? You keep telling me to keep going longer. You're a big sports guy.
Yeah.
Knicks, Rangers. When are you taking to the Garden with you for a game?
That's the question?
Well, I'm asking you.
What kind of question is that?
Because I want to go.
You're pointing me. Listen, I you know, I love the Garden. I grew up in the Garden. I fought every week in the Felt Forum. Every finals I was in, three finals in the Golden Gloves, was in the main Garden. And I had my professional career. I fought in the Garden. I fought Kenny Norton. I knocked Kenny Norton out in the 54 seconds of the first round of the Garden. And so, yeah, I live in Jersey. Mm-hmm. I love the Knicks. I love the Rangers. And there's a lot of concerts that goes on in the Garden. It's a lot of fun, too. So, yeah, I get to go. And you're going to have to work harder for that, bro.
I'm going to have you on a lot more to get
You're going to have your gun with you. Have to have your gun with me, bro.
And my girlfriend, because when my girlfriend comes, you like having my girlfriend
here. There you go.
Okay, so Triple G wins, if he wins, or Canelo. Does that leave Jacobs in the...
I think Jacobs fights the winner of those two. And I kind of like... Jacobs is in a kind of an awkward position because he looks so good in losing to Triple G. It's hard to beat that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can only look worse in your next fight. So, you know, obviously he's been waiting around for a while. And he's coming on the show tonight, so we're going to figure out what's happening for him. But he's in an awkward position because he did so well that night. I remember standing up, you know, when Danny Jacobs was fighting Triple G, and I didn't think he could win. He's been through a lot of cancer and stuff. And I was jumping up. It was like 11, 12 rounds. Like, wow, you got this, bro. And I picked him. I thought he won the fight that night. The next morning, I went to, I told you, my friend Michael Nesta from the Port Authority police. And I went to his house and watched it with him. And I could see that Triple G used that jab all night long and was winning, keeping Danny Jacobs off balance. So, listen, I'm excited like everybody else about this fight and many other fights that are out there. In boxing, it's crazy.
Like every weekend, it seems now, there's just good fights on all the time. And I like when they're putting it on non-pay-per-view, when Fox Sports have. I love that before the Mayweather fight.
That's been like, it's been that promoter that came out, Al Haymon, came out and put on a lot of great shows on regular television. I don't know if he can keep doing it because it costs a lot of money to take that time away from television and put on your fights, and you got to sell that advertising. I don't know that he has. I think he's lost a bunch of money. But that being said, it was like it's been too good to be true. Can he sustain it? I don't know.
Look at you breaking down like TV revenue and stuff. You got your hand in so much different shit.
Crazy. Listen, it's a great game. It's great that he put those Like, I've ran into 1,000 people in my life that told me, listen, I want to get into the fight game. I want to promote. This guy wants me to invest money. Mm-hmm. I told every one of them, don't do it.
Why is that?
Because what happens is they lose all their money. It's a fight game is a ruthless business.
It's an evil business too, right?
And so all those people that I told them don't do it, they did it, and they lost everything.
And yet some of the boxes, like, you know, you got screwed out of the whole thing. You told, how many times have you said the story with Don King that you got screwed out of a lot of shit?
No, I got screwed out of the experience I needed. I needed 3 or 4 or 5 more fights before I fought Holmes to gain that experience. I had a lot of knockouts in my career, mm-hmm. and he wouldn't give me any of them because why would he want me to gain the experience so that I could have a better chance at beating Larry Holmes and taking away his championship? So he owned everybody but me.
Mm-hmm.
So he kept me out of the picture. But listen, that being said, okay, the other stuff, I saved my brains.
Yeah, oh, hell yeah, you did.
A lot of guys are struggling today, and so that's a crime about the fight game. You know, there's a lot of things need to be changed about that we're working on.
Like what? Before we hand out, I'm
curious.
Honest
with you, I think guys train in the gym with 12, 14-ounce gloves. I train with 24-ounce gloves. It's like 2 pillows.
Mm-hmm.
So you get in better shape, and you're not taking that wear and tear that most guys do. And they should be monitoring the gyms. The commissions should have somebody in the gyms all the time watching that. You know, years ago, they used to have ring wars in Philadelphia in the gyms. And guys would burn themselves out in the gym. So we have to make some changes. And I'm so excited to see that we're seeing better fights, a lot better quality opponents and champions. And they're trying to work out making less champions so you can really be more, instead of having 20 champions, you have like, you know, 8 instead of, you know.
Yeah, that's ridiculous, champ.
So,
and we're about to, by the way, just so you know, we might be going into business together, Jerry Cooney and Mike Safosnick. You want to know why?
What?
You know the brand of clothing? This is the truth. Roots of Fight, Roots of the Fight?
Yeah.
I've emailed them, I'm not lying to you, 30 or 40 times. Because, you know, with suggestions. Jerry Cooney, I made my brother do it, my mom, my girlfriend. So when they come out with the Jerry Cooney shirt, I'm serious, we're going to go half. And listen, I'm upset. I'm walking through the hallways. I don't know if you're allowed to talk about it. And they fired our boy Opie.
Yeah, you know, I don't know really what went down there. He had some problems.
Yeah, no.
The station, and you know, I love that show. I had a great time.
I used to love when you go and you punch it. Yeah, he's. I'm telling you, it's like
some bad things happen. Some bad blood.
I don't know what it was. No, I knew it. But I'm saying, like, for 20 years, that's been the voice of my life.
Right.
It was Mike Francesa and Opie and Anthony.
Right.
And now there's no more Opie. It's like, holy shit.
Well, what about the ESPN guys? The guy got arrested for.
No, oh, Craig Carton from WFAN. God. Him and Boomer, that was WFAN
well, that
in the morning.
Boomer. Boomer's doing
no, Boomer, no, Boomer's
him
legit.
And Phil Sims are going to take it over. But
Craig Carton, I know that's.
How can you figure that? How can somebody think that they're going to be able to get away with these things? But then again, he's innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah, of course, and like a legit Ponzi scheme. That's scary.
Scary.
Listen, my friend Jerry Cooney, thank you.
Thank you.
No, I just love having you on. I'm telling you, we'll text Jackie and we'll do a show, me, you, and Jackie, and just hang out one day.
I love that all the time. Anytime.
My friend, thank you so much.
All right, we got to get TV. We got to get on TV.
Whenever you want, put a little thing up. We'll do a little YouTube thing going on.
Yeah, you got it.
Jerry Cooney, thank you,
see
my friend.
Buddy.
Bye.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.